You're listening to an African Elements top news story for March 23rd, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. The hidden truth behind the UN call to erase global racism. The world recently paused to hear a powerful message from the United Nations. Secretary General Antonio Guterres spoke about a deep stain on human history. This stain is the lasting impact of racism. He asked every nation to work harder to remove the damaging effects of slavery and colonialism. These historical forces still shape the lives of people in the African diaspora today. His words remind the world that the past is never truly gone. It lives on in the structures of modern society. Every year on March 21st, the world observes the International Day for the Elimination of Racial Discrimination. This date is not a random choice. It marks the anniversary of a terrible day in South Africa. The blood spilled on that day led to a global movement. This movement aims to dismantle the systems that keep people apart based on the color of their skin. Understanding this history helps explain why the UN remains so focused on these issues. The story begins in 1960 in a township called Sharpeville. At that time, South Africa lived under a system called apartheid. This was a legal framework that enforced racial segregation. Black South Africans had to follow very strict rules. One of the most hated rules involved pass laws. These laws forced black citizens to carry special booklets at all times. They could not travel or work in certain areas without them. On March 21, 1960, thousands of peaceful protesters gathered at a local police station. They wanted to show their anger toward these pass laws. The Pan-Africanist Congress, led by Robert Sobukwe, organized the event. He believed in nonviolent action to challenge the state. However, the response from the police was anything but peaceful. Without warning, officers opened fire on the unarmed crowd. They fired over 1,300 rounds of ammunition into the protesters. The aftermath of the shooting was horrifying. Official records initially listed 69 deaths. Later research suggests that at least 91 people were killed. Among the dead were 10 children. Over 180 people suffered injuries. Many victims were shot in the back as they tried to run away. This event shocked the international community. It was the first time the United Nations formally condemned the actions of the South African government. This tragedy became the spark for a global fight against racial injustice. Apartheid was not just a collection of mean habits. It was a carefully designed legal system. The National Party government created it to ensure white minority rule. The Population Registration Act of 1950 divided every person into racial groups. These groups determined where a person could live. They also determined what kind of jobs a person could hold. This system stripped black South Africans of their basic human rights. The government also used the Group Areas Act of 1950 to control the land. This law allowed officials to designate neighborhoods for one race only. They used this power to force thousands of black families out of their homes. These families were often moved to crowded townships far from city centers. The goal was to keep the races separate and unequal. This state-mandated racism is why the UN declared apartheid a crime against humanity in 1966. Pass laws were the primary tool for policing these boundaries. These laws made black people feel like strangers in their own country. If a person forgot their reference book, they faced immediate arrest. This constant threat of jail created a state of fear. Families were broken up because workers were forced to live in urban barracks alone. Their wives and children had to stay in poor rural areas. This painful history shows how laws can be used to destroy that families strive to build. In 1966, the UN General Assembly made a bold move. They proclaimed March 21st as a day to eliminate racial discrimination. For many years, the focus was on ending legal segregation in South Africa. However, the world eventually realized that racism does not end when a law is changed. After apartheid fell in 1994, the UN shifted its strategy. They began to look at the deep roots of racism that exist everywhere. A major turning point happened in 2001. Nations gathered in South Africa for the World Conference Against Racism. This meeting produced the Durban Declaration and Program of Action. This document was the first of its kind. It officially linked modern racism to the history of the transatlantic slave trade. It argued that the horrors of the past created the inequalities of the present. This new focus helped people see that racism is a global problem, not just a South African one. The UN also launched the International Decade for People of African Descent. This initiative runs from 2015 to 2024. It focuses on three main goals: recognition, justice, and development. This decade acknowledges that the African diaspora is a distinct group. These communities face unique challenges due to their historical experiences. The UN created a permanent forum to advise on these issues. This ensures that the voices of Afro-descendants are heard in high-level discussions. Antonio Guterres emphasized that racism is a learned behavior. He argued that it is rooted in centuries of oppression. Between 1501 and 1867, millions of Africans were kidnapped. They were forced into the transatlantic slave trade. Experts estimate that 12.5 to 13 million people were taken from their homes. This massive displacement created a global racial hierarchy. This hierarchy placed white Europeans at the top and black Africans at the bottom. This history continues to haunt the modern world. Colonial powers took resources from Africa and used enslaved labor to build wealth. This wealth did not benefit the people who did the work. Instead, it created a massive gap in resources that still exists. Today, this manifests in economic and social inequalities. Many people of African descent live in communities that lack investment. This is the direct result of historical choices made by colonial governments. Colonialism also tried to erase the true from history. By painting the continent as uncivilized, colonizers justified their actions. This false narrative remains part of many school lessons today. Decolonizing education is a major part of the UN's plan. It involves teaching the full history of the African diaspora. This includes the achievements of African kingdoms before Europeans arrived. Restoring this history is essential for the psychological liberation of the diaspora. Racism is more than just words or bad attitudes. It has physical consequences for black people. One of the clearest examples is found in the healthcare system. In the United States, black women face a serious crisis. They are 2 to 3 times more likely to die from pregnancy-related causes than white women. This disparity is not caused by genetics. It is caused by systemic bias within the medical field. Historical medical racism is at the heart of this problem. In the 19th century, doctors like J. Marion Sims performed experiments on enslaved women. They did this without using anesthesia. These doctors claimed that black people did not feel pain the same way white people did. This lie has persisted for over a century. Even today, studies show that some medical students still believe black patients have thicker skin. These false beliefs lead to doctors undertreating the pain of black mothers. Systemic racism also creates chronic stress. This stress can lead to weathering of the body. Living in a society that treats you differently because of your race is exhausting. This exhaustion causes early aging and health problems. This is why the UN calls for health equity. They want to ensure that every person receives fair treatment, regardless of their ancestry. Addressing these issues requires looking at how history poisoned the medical system. As the world recognizes these historical harms, the call for justice grows louder. Many leaders are now talking about reparatory justice. This is more than just giving out money. It is a process of healing and restoring what was stolen. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Volker Turk, has been very clear. He believes that states and corporations must reckon with their history. They must look at how they benefited from the labor of enslaved people. The CARICOM nations have created a 10-point plan for this process. They are asking for formal apologies from former colonial powers. They also want debt cancellation for Caribbean nations. These countries were left with massive debts after gaining independence. Reparations also include investing in healthcare and technology. The goal is to close the wealth gap that slavery created. This movement is gaining support across the African diaspora. Some institutions are already taking small steps. Certain universities have studied their ties to slavery and created scholarships. However, the UN argues that these actions must be more comprehensive. True justice means changing the laws that still produce unequal results. It means dismantling the barriers that have existed since the end of slavery. Reparatory justice is seen as a legal obligation under international law for crimes against humanity. Today, racism remains a global crisis. UNESCO reports that race is still the leading cause of discrimination. In their 2025 outlook, they found that race accounts for 38% of all reported cases. Ethnicity accounts for another 20%. Even more alarming is the violence associated with these cases. Nearly 18% of discrimination reports involve physical attacks. This shows that the stain of racism is still a lethal threat. The current political climate also plays a role in this struggle. Under President Donald Trump, the United States has navigated complex relationships with international forums. While the UN continues to push for global standards, individual nations often prioritize their own domestic policies. Despite these challenges, U.S.-based civil rights groups use the UN Permanent Forum to raise awareness. They talk about issues like voting rights and police conduct on a global stage. This pressure helps keep social justice on the agenda. As the first international decade concludes, there is a push for a second one. Many leaders believe that 10 years was not enough to undo centuries of harm. A second international decade would focus on systemic reform. It would encourage nations to collect better data on racial disparities. This data is necessary to prove where the system is failing. By continuing this work, the UN hopes to finally erase the stain that Guterres described. The fight for a fair world continues for the next generation. Copyright, African Elements, 2023.